All right, well, today is October 12th, and the reading that you did today completes your reading in the book of Nehemiah, one of the great leaders of all time. And today you read about the dedication of the walls after everything was done. Now, certainly, the dedication of the walls for Nehemiah was among the high points of his whole career. I mean, we've read about a lot of great celebrations in the Bible, but this celebration has to be one at the very top of the list. Now, there's two great choirs that top the list of this celebration, and it's interesting the way that it's described that they go around the walls of Jerusalem. So you have, you know, choir one, all of these people right here, and they are led by Ezra, and Ezra takes them around the walls this way. And then you've got choir two, all of these people here, and they are led by Nehemiah, and Nehemiah takes them around the walls this way. And these great choirs and trumpeters and gatekeepers, they get this huge place of prominence in the storyline. And they start the march and go around the walls of Jerusalem. They lead all of the people in singing and rejoicing. And it's likely that for miles and miles around, cities all over the place could hear that there's a huge celebration, the walls have been built, and this is a major moment of triumph for the people of Israel. Very exciting moment at the climax of their history. Now, before we move on, it would be well for us to note that a certain amount of prominence is given to these gatekeepers and these choir members, these singers. There were all kinds of jobs in ancient Israel, just like there's all kinds of jobs in the work of the kingdom right now. Every single one of them matters. Everyone carries a high importance to God. Now, I'm sure that there are some people who are watching or listening right now that could feel like, you know what, I'm a little bit less significant. I'm more expendable in the service of the Lord. And I'm kind of like the gatekeepers and choir members. Don't get a lot of honor too often. Sometimes I wish I was a priest or a soldier or something really important. But that thought of some parts of the body being less important than others is completely wrong-headed. I mean, you need to be corrected in your thinking. Without gatekeepers and singers, Nehemiah couldn't have finished this. And I'm sure that the people who were a part of that celebration were so glad that they had the singers to lead them on that particular day. If that's something that you might think about yourself, it would be like you saying about your own physical body, boy, you know, that liver's really not that important, or don't eat my cartilage too much today. Well, live a day without cartilage and you'll find out just how important it is. And your gifts and your thoughts, your ideas, they are very important to the body of Christ. So that's a little bit about the celebration. But the story continues on after that with a number of different things that Nehemiah rebukes the people for. So Nehemiah had requested to come to Jerusalem in order to rebuild the walls. And he did so under Artaxerxes' reign in 445 BC. He had gone to Jerusalem. He stayed, he built the walls, he had the big party-like celebration, and then he stayed there for 12 years as the governor. And in this passage, you learn that he went back to Artaxerxes to serve Artaxerxes for a while, and then he came back to Jerusalem. We're not sure the exact dates when he came back to Jerusalem, but we know that when he came back, he was not happy. Did you see the things that happened while Nehemiah was gone? So first of all, he walks in, he goes into the temple, and who has a room in the temple? We don't know if this was like a hotel room or his office, but somehow Eliashib had given, of all people, Tobiah the Ammonite was given a room in the temple. So like the biggest jerk was given a place in the holiest place. And Nehemiah says, friends, this is not acceptable. Tobiah is not to be in here. So he throws him out somewhat violently. It even reminds you of Jesus when he came and cleansed the temple later on. Well, Nehemiah is a bit of a precursor to Jesus in the way that he's throwing out Tobiah. Jesus later on threw out the money changers from the temple. And now that he's the new governor, nobody is going to challenge him. His second discovery was that the allotted provisions for the Levites and singers were not being brought to the temple. They weren't being taken care of. They were being starved out. And apparently the people of Jerusalem forgot that, you know what, we signed a contract that we were going to do this just a few years back. and now they were breaking the contract as well as breaking their covenant with the Lord. So Nehemiah rebukes them and says, you've got to bring the money to take care of the Levites and the singers because they're really important to what happens in the mix here in Jerusalem. And when he did you notice that he prayed to God and said, God, remember me for this. And then he asked for God's mercy. There was another piece that they forgot. They forgot about their pledge regarding the Sabbath. They forgot that they weren't supposed to buy things or sell things on the Sabbath day. So what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah says, not only can you not buy and sell things, we're going to shut the gates of the city on the Sabbath so that all the people from the other outlying country, they can't come in and sell their goods here. This is way too important for us to ignore. And when he corrected them on their Sabbath keeping, which, by the way, they had also signed to in the contract a while before, he said, remember me, O God. You see, he has to make these tough leadership calls, throwing Tobiah out of the temple, helping people to remember their covenant to the Levites and the singers, and then the Sabbath day. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, the very first thing that they signed to in the covenant, they were breaking as well. You remember this? I mean, this is totally predictable. They all signed, we won't intermarry our sons and daughters to people of foreign languages and people of foreign religions because we don't want our kids to wind up worshiping other gods. Well, what had they been doing? They had been marrying off their kids to Ammonites and Moabites and other people that were close by. Their kids were not growing up learning their language. They were speaking other languages and worshiping foreign gods. And the worst of all of these, I mean, it's hard to believe this. Eliashib, he's the high priest. His son Jehoiada is a priest. Well, Jehoiada had married one of his sons, get this, to Sanballat the Horonite's daughter. Of all the people in the world that you could pick, you've got to pick Sanballat's daughter, and your son's supposed to grow up to be a priest. Your grandkids are going to be worshiping the gods of Sanballat. And Nehemiah says, this is not acceptable. And so he chases Jehoiada out. He makes another tough leadership call. And then he prays to God. God, will you remember me with mercy? Will you remember me with favor? You know, one of the things we learn about leadership from this passage is that leaders have to make tough calls. They do it all the time. And those tough calls are oftentimes painful in the short run. It hurts somebody that you're talking to. It causes somebody to be, you know, removed from the city or from the fellowship. But leaders have to make those tough calls. They have to make them for the good of the body, for the good of the people of the church or the kingdom or the city that they rule over. Leaders have to make tough calls. And then all you can do is pray to God and say, God, remember me for this. Sometimes it's lonely to make those calls. I know how that feels. And maybe you're a leader right now who's making a tough call, and you can take some encouragement from Nehemiah that God will remember you and God will honor you for your leadership decision. May God's blessings be with you today.